5 to go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it!
He hit it just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing. Frank.
Oh! Sent it in, Jerome!
College basketball. This is March Madness.
Bracket breakdowns are continuing here on Mad About Hoops. I'm Timmy Hall. Evil Bald Colin is not with me. We had to record our regional breakdowns separately because we're so dang busy and we're getting ready. We've had a lot of work to do with our separate jobs this week, and we're racing. I mean, papers are flying everywhere. Sirens are going off. Charlie Steiner's out there saying, "Follow me. Follow me to freedom." We got to get stuff done. Got to get shit done. Got to get ready for basketball. Noon, Thursday. So I'm not going to go through every single game as we get into the slippery South. The slipping South. The slipping Jimmy South. The South region. Who's it going to be? Evil Bald Colin, the mastermind of college basketball lore. He will break it down every single game. I'll pass it off to him. I want to see what this sicko does with a couple of his favorites. You got the Vermont Catamounts taking on Duke here in a 4-13. And you got the James Madison Dukes taking on Wisconsin in a 12-5. I really want to know if he's going to go with where his heart is. That guy loves Vermont, and I love Vermont. Let's see what he does there. So, Colin, what are you going to do? You big, evil son of a gun.
All right, Timmy, let's head over to the South region. The one seed in that bracket is Houston. They will be taking on Longwood, the Lancers, from the state of Virginia. Again, not a 116 you really need to think a whole lot about. Put Houston into your second round. Let's move on to the 8-9 matchup. For me, this is probably the toughest one to pick because I think you could really argue either way. Whether to support the 8 seed Nebraska or the 9 seed Texas A&M. With Nebraska, you know what you're getting. You're getting an offense that centers around Keisei Tominaga and his ability to shoot from 3, rank mast, and his ability to stretch the court and really put pressure on the front courts of opponents. And on the other side, you have a Texas A&M team that's very guard-oriented with Tyrese Radford and Wade Taylor, guys that we've seen this year in Columbus when Texas A&M came to play Ohio State. It was a very good matchup, and A&M left with the win. They struggled throughout the year, but really turned it on late, especially heading towards the SEC tournament. I will take A&M, the 9 seed, to pull it out and move on to the second round. The 5-12 is Wisconsin JMU, James Madison. This is going to be probably the most popular 5-12 upset that's picked in your bracket pools. And for me personally, I don't think I'm going to pick it because while they are different styles, Wisconsin wants to slow it down. They want to play limited possessions, play great defense, and try to be efficient on offense, while JMU wants to play up-tempo, get threes up, and are very, very good when they shoot over, I think it's like 38-39% from three. I think they're undefeated when they shoot that high of a percentage. You combine that with the fact that Wisconsin is not really great at defending the three. They technically give it up one of the worst rates, at least in the power conferences. It would concern me if I wanted to back Wisconsin, which I am going to do here. But I think the way the form and the consistency that Wisconsin has been playing with in the last 3 to 4 games has kind of regained my confidence in them. And I don't think they'll fall in this game, but they will fall in the game after that. The 4-13 is Duke, Vermont. I was very torn on this because I am kind of a resident Vermont fan at this point. I really like this team, and John Becker's done a great job with this team up in the America East, but they just don't have the type of guys that are going to be able to go toe-to-toe with a team like Duke. I'll move the 4 seed on. The 6-11 is Texas Tech and NC State. A lot of different narratives here. You could say, wow, NC State, the 11 seed, has played well recently, obviously won the ACC tournament to get into this tournament. You could also say that they could be out of gas. They played 5 games in 5 days last week. Not a whole lot of time off. Had to get to the regional site and get ready for this matchup. I typically do like 11s over 6s, but honestly, you're hearing the 2 6s that I actually want to back. I like Pop Isaacs and the guards that Texas Tech has. They play great defense under McCasland, and I think the 6 seed moves on to play the winner of Kentucky and Oakland. That's the 3-14 matchup in this region. I got to say, out of the 3-14s in this bracket, this is the one I'm actually the most concerned with because of the capabilities of UConn to play either up or down. And really playing down to their opponent is something that you could be very concerned about. Oakland's a team, if you're here locally in Columbus, you saw Ohio State play them in the first game of the year. And Oakland's got some guys in Trey Townsend and Jack Golke that can get up some shots and get some scoring. And they could make this game a first to 90 situation with Kentucky. I'm not super high on Kentucky to make it through this tournament very long, but I do like them to win this first game against Oakland. So give me the 3 seed there. We are recording this before the second day of the play-in games, so I don't know who is facing Florida in the 7-10 matchup yet. It'll either be Boise State or Colorado. If I had to guess ahead of time, I believe Colorado is going to win that matchup and then face Florida. But either way, I like the play-in team coming out of this region to beat the Florida Gators. Obviously, Florida, if you saw any of the SEC tournament, you saw they dealt with some major injury news to one of their big men. And Boise and Colorado have the capabilities of really stretching this Florida team where they seem to struggle. Colorado, it's great guard play, and they've got some good forwards. Boise State really centers around Tyson Degenhart and guys like Max Rice and Omar Stanley. I think both of these teams have the capabilities of pulling the upset after winning in the first four. And I like to always take one of the first four teams because consistently, I think it's like 11 of the 12 years we've had the first four. A team playing in those first four eventually wins a game when it gets to the round of 64. So give me the play-in team against Florida to pull out that victory. The 2-15 matchup is Marquette and Western Kentucky. I don't think you should overthink this, but at the same time, if Tyler Kolek isn't playing right away, I would be very concerned about the long-term, the longevity of Marquette's stay in this tournament. Personally, I have them going a pretty far distance, and it kind of concerns me, but I do have them winning this game, regardless if Kolek plays or not. We'll speed through the rest of this South region. I've got Houston over Texas A&M, Duke over Wisconsin, very close game. I've kind of gone back and forth on it, but I'm still going to trust Kyle Filipowski and John Shire to get it done there. A tough game, a quiet tough game between Texas Tech and Kentucky could happen here. I do think the Red Raiders could pull this off, but I will stick with Kentucky to make it to the Sweet 16. And then Marquette over the play-in team, I still believe that Tyler Kolek will be able to play and will get them over this hump. Into the Sweet 16, I've got Marquette over Kentucky. I think this is finally where the defense of Marquette gives the strong offense of Kentucky trouble, and they can't overcome the issues on their defensive side of the ball. Marquette is very efficient. I will take Marquette to move on to the Elite Eight. And then Houston over Duke. I said this on Selection Sunday that I think if Houston met Duke in the Sweet 16, Houston could bully them. I just think the way that they're built in the front court and the strength of their guards are overpowering for a team like Duke. And Duke sometimes lets the other team dictate the pace or the style of the game. And that's not what you want to do against a team like Houston. So I will take the Cougars. And then I will also take the Cougars over Marquette. I think it's very commendable for Shaka Smart to get back to the Elite Eight. Hasn't done it in a very long time, but it will come to an end when the Houston Cougars meet them there. So as of the South region, we have finished 3 regions. I have UConn, North Carolina, and Houston. Yes, 3 1 seeds. And I fully understand how that might look. My personal goal, and you'll hear it even in the Midwest region when we get to it next, I like upsets early, but I like to go with chalk later. It typically keeps you more in play when it gets into those bracket pools, especially when they're a smaller group of under maybe 40 to 50 people. Consistently, if you keep to chalk late, unless if it was last year, you just completely throw the bracket in the trash because it completely went a different way. But chalk usually keeps you in it to the end. So take your upsets early, but go with chalk when it matters most. So 3 1 seeds as of now heading into the Midwest region. Timmy, please tell me you're going to break up the monotony of my 1 seeds with the South region.
No, Colin, I'm not going to break up the monotony.
And by the way, mine is going to be way more fun than yours because I've got the JMU-Vermont game. I've got the 12 and the 13 both winning. Bye-bye, Wisconsin. Bye-bye, Duke. So I'll have Houston-Vermont in my suite. Then I'll have Kentucky and Marquette in my Sweet 16. Houston is going to beat Kentucky to go back to the Final Four. And Kelvin Sampson's just got a hell of a program, hell of a team that he's had recently there. It's not Phi Slamma Jamma, but man, if they could just cut the nets down, if they could just win that title, what an incredible run it will have been for Houston Cougars basketball. Owning the Big 12, their first year there too, so mightily impressive. So there it is. That's the Slippery South region. One more regional breakdown to go. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast. It's a fun time of year for us. And one more coming up here on the feed as we will break down the Midwest. Thanks for listening. Remember, make your free throws, folks.